bizarre to think that, like fashion or food, there are emerging trends in the social impact and philanthropic spaces. But as C.D. Glynn, global head of philanthropy at PepsiCo and president of the PepsiCo Foundation, says, it's the pointedness and emphasis that consumers are putting on issues like sustainability, digitization, and localization that are transforming them to be ever-present yet emerging at the same time. We speak to C.D. to find out more. C.D., thank you so much for joining me here today. Firstly, have you seen an inclination among businesses to prioritize crisis relief as opposed to social impact work? And if so, what is the foundation's stance?
You know, that's a great, great question. You know, I don't know about a prioritization, but I think we typically, you know, unfortunately respond to sort of what's in front of us. And recently there's been a number of whether humanitarian or climatic crises that have caught our attention or that, you know, hit us directly in the communities where we live, where we work, where we serve. And so those tend to be the things that often get the attention of the day. And to some extent, that means more long-term planning and positioning could sometimes take a backseat to dealing with the urgent and immediate. But a balance is always needed to be able to meet the needs of today and to address the immediate relief of suffering, but then also plan for the long-term resilience building efforts as well.
Right. What role do you believe the private sector should be playing in reducing global hunger, water insecurity, and economic inequalities?
I think that the private sector has to play a significant role in addressing issues like those that we address at the PepsiCo Foundation in terms of food insecurity, lack of access to safe water, and generally supporting economic opportunities, particularly for those underserved in communities where we live and work. It's no longer a do no harm kind of world. It's sort of a space now where we need to do the most good as possible. And I think companies play a significant role in doing as much good as possible. At PepsiCo, we have an end-to-end strategic transformation that we call PepsiCo Positive. So as one of the world's largest food and beverage companies, we want to be positive in the system in which we operate, which is the food system. And so being positive in our agriculture, how we source the products that go and the ingredients that go into our products. You know, we want to be positive in our value chains, and those value chains do include the value chain of water. It also includes lessening GHG emissions. And then it's being positive in the choices that we put out into the world. And those choices are designed to really inspire and to bring joy. So I think the private sector plays a significant role in addressing the challenges. At the end of the day, if the communities where we want to engage in the communities that sort of give our license to operate, if they're not thriving, then it's very difficult for business to thrive.
Mm-hmm. It's bizarre to think that, like fashion or food, there are emerging trends in the social impact and philanthropy spaces. Can you tell us about these emerging trends?
That's great. I think I would, you know, these are most emerging trends in philanthropy. But more important, I think philanthropy and social impact and really overall sort of the food and beverage space where we operate at PepsiCo. So the first one I'll say is sort of around, and it's not necessarily emerging, it's emerged. But I think the pointedness and the emphasis that particularly consumers are putting on some of these issues is what's really changing and transforming them to be ever present and to be emerging at the same time. So issues, the first one I'll say is around issues of sustainability, sourcing, and traceability. These aren't new issues, but I just think that more and more consumers and those who we engage in our communities are often asking, you know, how was our food grown? Where was it grown? Where did it come from? And so those issues are really important to us as a foundation linked to a global food and beverage company, because we have to answer those questions on a daily basis. I mean, also we can inspire with our answers. And so to talk about our commitment at PepsiCo to regenerative agriculture, to really put a focus on not only the sustainable regenerative food system, but one that's inclusive, that really is thinking about smallholder farmers and female smallholder farmers in our supply chain to make sure that everyone benefits as we do, you know, develop and grow products in regions around the world, that we're not only, quote unquote, leaving no one behind, but we're doing more good. And so sustainability, sourcing, traceability is sort of one bucket, I would say, of an emerging trend that's sort of leading to philanthropic and social impact programs that really are paramount now. Quickly, I'll go to another one. And I'd say, so, you know, the next one won't surprise anyone, because this is shaping our world on a day-to-day basis, and that's just digitization. And so when I look at digitization and how it's impacting my work as a social impact leader of a food and beverage company, you know, I think about how it really does change the nature of the organizations that we engage. And those organizations sometimes are those on the front lines of delivering, I would say, culture and cuisine to communities. And those are restaurants. I mean, you know, restaurants are these entities that we depend on so much to you know, nourish our bodies and our local communities. And when they're suffering, and we saw this, you know, years ago with the onset of the COVID pandemic, we saw restaurants go out of business and get shut down in different cities and communities all around the world. And we see what that did. As we hovered in our homes to eat, then restaurants also suffered. Now we're back to this new normal, and this new normal is having us sort of eat out and eat takeaway or carry out or delivery in more ways than we've ever imagined. And so digitization is necessary and an emerging trend in all of the restaurants and food service entities that we engage in the local communities to make sure that they can survive, you know, what they went through COVID-19, that they've adapted to the new normal. And now that they can thrive. And so digitization, how they plan, how they manufacture, how they distribute, how they sell their products, it's all digitized now. And then there's things that we can do as a company using our capabilities. Yes, our capital in terms of being a philanthropic entity is really important, but also the capacity that we have through our employees is also equally advantageous for this new normal of digitization, particularly in the food service business. And so, you know, trying to work on the digital presence through a digital delivery program at PepsiCo, where we support particularly Black and Hispanic food service providers. These are restaurants, and these are bodegas in the Hispanic community, and these are mom and pop shops. But, you know, trying to see if we can help them with an online presence, trying to optimize their online delivery programs, their ordering programs, and really upgrading their marketing assets. So digitization as a response to what community members and community organizations need, particularly those in the food service space, is sort of another trend. And lastly, I'll just say, you know, local and functional. And what do I mean by that? So local, and that everything right now is really about localization. How do we get closer to the issues, being proximate to the issues and challenges that people in our communities face, but also the local solution providers? How do we sort of help them develop and scale their solutions that are addressing societal needs at a local level? And then as we do so, think about the functionality of what we actually are producing as the company to address some of these local challenges. And so two examples is one through the PepsiCo Foundation's Food for Good program, where we source, we pack, and we deliver those meals, you know, to schools and to after-school programs, because in the U.S., 1 in 8 child is food insecure. 1 in 8 in the U.S. in terms of demographics to that 1 in 8, 1 in 5 or 6 Black or brown kids, Hispanic or African American, Latino, are hungry, if you will, and that hunger is sometimes hidden because you know, just the realities of the nature of the U.S. But the Food for Good program thinks about and works with local schools and after school programs to ensure that we can deliver meals for after school programs, for weekend programs, for summer. You know, hunger doesn't take a day off. Hunger doesn't operate within our school days and evenings. And so being there and trying to meet these local needs is really important. And then I would say functional, in that the foods that we're able to produce now more than ever have more than just the ability to satiate our hunger. They really, and consumers are looking for some level of functionality, as our community members. And so, for instance, a food and beverage company such as PepsiCo, when we enter into a community and we're trying to address issues like food insecurity, you know, sometimes some of those issues manifest themselves through malnutrition. And so to be able to use our capabilities to create a food product that addresses malnutrition for those children 0 to 5 years old, that really impacts issues such as anemia, that looks at mild to moderate malnutrition and tackles it head on through our ability to produce a product, you know, is incredible. And so that that product that we produce is not only a great tasting product, but it's functional. And this is an example in Mexico with a program called Quaker Creche with our Quaker brand. So Quaker has created a food product that is a therapeutic food products, particularly in this formulation. It's like a biscuit or a cookie, a biscuit for you in the UK, a cookie for us in the US, but it's basically a cookie, but it's not an ordinary cookie. It's highly caloric. It's a medical clinical food, special food that is provided to children by their parents, by their mothers, to really address mild to moderate malnutrition. And that's in Mexico and Guatemala. And then we took our capabilities and said, let's do the same in another region and see if we can do this again, a functional, you know, food to address a global scourge in terms of malnutrition. And we have a program now with our brand Quaker in India, and it's called Quaker Bowl of Growth. So the functionality or the formulation, functionality is the same, but the formulation is different. And it's not a biscuit or a cookie that we're manufacturing and providing to local nonprofits to deliver to families in India. It's more of a porridge. Because again, the cultural relevancy of the formulation is really important as well. So I know that was really long, but I wanted to share some of what I see that the emergence of social impact and philanthropic trends, particularly those that I mentioned around sustainability and sourcing, around digitization, and around being not only local, but having sort of functional products are really important for us in 2024 as we think about ourselves as a company that really wants to be a positive force for good, that really is addressing some global challenges in a way that we're driving real results, and we're really relevant to the societies and the communities that we're operating in. So, you know, I just thank you for the opportunity to share some of that.
Excellent. As you know, Africa is very close to my heart. Can you tell me about some of the work that you're doing there?
I'm really, really excited about the work that we're doing in Africa as we as a company expand our presence and our product portfolio in countries like South Africa, Nigeria, Ethiopia, and East Africa sort of as a whole. And, you know, Africa is the youngest continent in the world. It's it's a continent that's, you know, verging on 2 billion people in the next couple of years. And it's a continent that with that youth is that youthful exuberance, but it can be a demographic dividend or demographic bomb. I'm sorry. So a demographic dividend where it pays, where it pays to invest in those young people so that they can actually invest in their future. Or it can be a demographic bomb where these young people are restive and are striving for inclusion and economic equality, and they you know, restive youth is not something that you want to play with, if you will, if you really are talking about trying to have a peaceful, tranquil future. So we've been able to work with organizations throughout the continent to really invest in entrepreneurship, and this is really entrepreneurship for job creation. So looking at the unemployment and the underemployment and the decent work issues that are throughout the continent, indelible in some communities where young people who are highly educated still don't have opportunities to advance. We're looking at some of that energy and that ingenuity and saying, how can we harness that to a space that we know really well, which is the food and beverage, food service space. And so we're looking at African entrepreneurs, young entrepreneurs, where we're investing in them with capital, providing them with capacity building support, technical assistance. We're also connecting them through communications and community networks. And we really, really, really want to collaborate with others to invest in Africa's future, its youth, and particularly those who are interested in the food and agricultural space. And so through US-based and some South African-based small and medium-sized businesses and nonprofit NGO organizations, we're developing two programs that really do provide capital, capacity building, connectivity, and real collaboration with African food and beverage entrepreneurs, because we think that these young people are the innovators and the change makers of today and tomorrow. And by investing in them, particularly in this way in which we can add real value as a food and beverage company that's thinking about agriculture on the continent of Africa, that's thinking about how we support local entrepreneurs, particularly in the food service and food manufacturing and food production space and new product development. And so we have two programs that we've launched that really focus on African agricultural food entrepreneurs. And that's really exciting to me because, again, as we're nourishing the future innovators and leaders of tomorrow, they're nourishing the future of the planet and really are helping us feed the future. So really excited about what we're doing on the continent in the entrepreneurial space, in the job creation space, but also that we're still remain steadfast in working on issues such as malnutrition with school breakfast programs in countries like South Africa, with access to safe water programs in countries like Nigeria and Ethiopia. And then looking at, you know, in a big way, entrepreneurship and youth employment and job creation in countries like South Africa is really, really exciting to me. As someone who spent a big part of my career focusing on Africa, I think it's some of the most important work that we'll do that will, quote unquote, pay dividends for the future.
Fantastic. Can you tell me a little bit more about PepsiCo's regenerative agriculture program?
You know, regenerative agriculture is essential to us. At the end of the day, PepsiCo is rooted in agriculture. We're a company that sourced more than 30 crops from 60 countries around the world. These are ingredients that go into all the major brands that people love around the world. And it's really important how we actually source these products. And so regenerative agriculture being a series of really practices that really regenerate the soil, that regenerate the land where the crops come from, is essential to our, not only our survival as a company, but that the farmers that we support and the farming communities that we support, that they have the soil and the land and the practices that really are going to help them, you know, look at their livelihood for years to come. The average age of a farmer in around the world, probably if you tally it all up, is somewhere around 60 years old. And so this is where we have to invest in our future by not only investing in smallholder farmers, but also investing in the capabilities that they have. And so supporting them and training them in these regenerative practices is really key for us. So we have a commitment to regenerate and look at regenerative agriculture across 7 million acres of land. That's basically our agricultural footprint as a company. But even in that, we want to catalyze others to do more. And so we're partnering with major corporations in the U.S., with U.S. government entities, with nonprofit organizations to train farmers in and agricultural extension agents to train farmers in these regenerative practices, because how you grow and who grows is just as important as what's being grown. And so regenerative agriculture is a key part of PepsiCo's future and our positive agricultural agenda.
Do you partner with the private sector on some of your projects?
100%. I mean, we partner with anyone who shares our values and are ultimately some of the goals that we have as a company, again, to be a positive force for good, to operate within interplanetary boundaries, and really to drive growth and value for ourselves as a company and for the communities that we work in. So collaboration is key for us. In the U.S., particularly in our agricultural work, we partner with organizations such as, and companies such as Walmart, with ADM, with the U.S. government through USDA, the United States Agriculture Department. So we really partner with many organizations to really drive the transformation and change that's needed. We're very clear that even though we're a big company, that largesse really doesn't say let's go it alone. That largesse says let's invite others to create a bigger tent. And so even throughout the continent, partnering with local nonprofits and local community-based organizations and private sector companies throughout the continents of Africa, Asia, Europe, Latin America, just partnering with those, again, who share our values and who want to catalyze the change that we want to see. We know we can't go it alone. Again, we think our largesse is really the driver for us to even do more good for more people by collaborating with others and having a bigger impact and really creating opportunities for others. So the private sector, ourselves as an implementer of programs, but PepsiCo as a partner to others who are trying to develop, grow, and scale solutions that really bring greater transformation, greater growth, and greater hope to the communities where we work is essential.
Talking about communities and getting back to your restaurant accelerator programs, can you tell me more about these two programs, the Black Restaurant Accelerator Program and your Impacto Hispanic Restaurant Accelerator Program? And who can join? Who can benefit from these?
No, thank you so much for that question. Our support to local nonprofits that really are on the front lines of community engagement and addressing real challenges essential to sort of our model, being local, being lasting, being leading in our efforts. And the National Urban League program that we have that really focuses on Black restaurants in 20 cities throughout the U.S., it's technically open to anyone. This is really a program that does have a focus on those that have been historically excluded or underserved, that really engage with the National Urban League as our partner, who we provide financial support to then find, fund, and develop these local entrepreneurs, these local food service and restaurant champions of culture, champions of cuisine, champions of community connection, then providing them with capital, providing with business development, advisory services, providing them with marketing support, really wraparound services for them. And so in the 20 cities throughout the U.S., it's open, but you have to go through the National Urban League and their entrepreneurship centers. In the Hispanic, business accelerator program was called Impacto, very similarly. And in this program, we get local by going through what's called community development finance institutions, CDFIs, community development finance institutions. These are local financial entities that really have, let's call it, their ears to the ground, their feet in the community to really provide the financial resources to these Hispanic business owners and operators. Again, the program is open to anyone, but it is sort of looking at those who have been historically underserved in community and excluded in the Hispanic Latino community and providing them, again, with financial support, with capacity building support, 20 cities throughout the U.S. And our you know, endeavor is really to help them, again, survive this new normal as they transition their business to be poised for the future and that digitization as that trend that I mentioned is really important for a lot of these businesses that are local, that are mom and pop. These are places, mom and pop shops. These are places where people would just show up, wait in line for a long time for that great grandma's recipe. And so digitization and online presence wasn't the priority for a lot of these business owners and operators, but now it's necessary as we have, you know, come back into thinking about away from home dining is back and it's bigger than ever. And so how do we make sure we're leveling the playing field with particularly those communities and those populations that are on the forefront of providing us with great, you know, cultural connection through the cuisine that they put out there. So those programs in the U.S. are linked not only from a philanthropic standpoint, but they're also linked from a business standpoint. How do we, from a philanthropic perspective, provide them with grant capital and capacity building support, but also link them to the broader PepsiCo business and ensure that they're able to grow beyond the grant assistance, but to real business relationship with us us and others. And one of those partners I'll share really briefly is the National Restaurant Association in the U.S. And the National Restaurant, the NRA in the U.S., has an education foundation, and we're supporting the National Restaurant Association Education Foundation with financial support, again, to think about even the workforce of the future for these restaurants and what do they need to be trained in? How do they need to show up differently to have jobs of the future? And so it's a holistic program. It's a holistic effort across PepsiCo to really be a positive contributor to a more sustainable, regenerative, and inclusive food system, and to really be a part of that journey that the food service actors are really on. And so that support that we provide to the restaurants, the restaurateurs, through global and local nonprofit organizations is essential to PepsiCo being, a positive force in these communities, particularly as it relates to food and beverage.
On the other side of the scale, can you tell me about the PepsiCo Foundation's presence at the Super Bowl this year?
Let me tell you, the Super Bowl is always an amazing, amazing event. But, you know, unknown to most is that the Super Bowl, yes, it's a great Sunday afternoon, evening, event that brings the world together, particularly in the U.S., but also now increasingly around the world. It's a great day, but we look at it more as that we think about the lead up to the Super Bowl. We think about the glitz and the glam of the weekend. And right. Then we think about the quote unquote leave behind. Because even though it is a great moment in time, it's really essential that those communities are a part. Those communities, Super Bowl moves every year, that your listeners should know. It moves to a different city every year. And so you have a quote-unquote onslaught of opportunity where, hundreds of thousands of millions of people showing up in these great cities for this great weekend. We try to ensure that our presence as PepsiCo is doing more than the advertising and marketing around the game, and again, the glitz and the glam, that we really are supporting the local communities in these areas in terms of issues such as food insecurity. And so link with a great nonprofit partner that we have called Gen Youth. Mm-hmm. Gen Youth, a U.S.-based nonprofit organization that really is committed to ending student hunger. We partner with them, and we partner with them this year for a Super Schools Meals program. And this is a partnership where we provide meals and meal carts to schools all over the nation, but particularly in the host city for the Super Bowl. And in partnership with Gen Youth, we're able to provide meals that really fight childhood hunger and food insecurity and promote physical activity. And that's all really in line with our PepsiCo Food for Good initiative as well. So Gen Youth and their work is really incredible with the Super Schools program that's always linked to the Super Bowl, and it's the lead up. And it's also the leave behind, the support that we're giving to those schools. We also partner with Gen Youth on a program called Taste of the NFL. And this is where we bring celebrity chefs and local chefs from the local host Super Bowl cities together for a wonderful, glamorous afternoon where culinary experiences are at peak. I mean, where you have, again, some of the leading chefs around the country are coming together, providing these meals. Individuals buy tickets and they're able to taste this cuisine by some of the best global and local chefs. And all the proceeds, again, goes to the End Student Hunger Fund. So this program is really linked to capitalize on the Super Bowl as a moment in time, but a moment in time where we can do indelible long-term good for the communities. And so having a partner like Gen Youth is really essential for PepsiCo showing up as a company. Again, important that we're there for food and fun and football, but we're also there for the community.
Can you tell me a little bit about the foundation, when it started, what your vision is?
So the PepsiCo Foundation is actually a long-standing foundation of PepsiCo and all of the brands underneath the company. It was established in 1962. And the foundation is really committed to community impact, to employee engagement, and really driving corporate responsibility, corporate purpose for the company in the 200 or so markets and countries where we operate. And so it's a global foundation that executes programs locally. We're very results-oriented in terms of our grant making, and so we are predominantly a grant-making entity that provides grants to nonprofit organizations to address issues and challenges in their local communities with our financial support and our engagement in terms of project management, project development, and the like. And so we take a really relationship-driven perspective, being results-oriented, but relationships are really critical. And so we look at those that we provide financial support to as real partners in the development of the local communities where we operate. And we also look at challenges that are really relevant to the issues that the communities face, those who are proximate to these challenges. And we feel like by being local to them, by really thinking about lasting solutions, not necessarily quick wins. These are sort of long-term systemic change endeavors that we're embarking upon. And then being leading as PepsiCo, being the U.S.'s largest food and beverage company, one of the largest in the world, we want to be leading in what we're doing. And that leading is being catalytic in some instances, but it's also following, others lead, those community members lead in terms of what they think will be best for developing their communities. We want to also leverage the size, the scale, the ambition of PepsiCo as a global company. And so while the foundation is a separate entity from the business, we leverage and we try to link to and use the power of PepsiCo to bring greater awareness to some of these challenges, such as food insecurity, and particularly the issues of hunger, of malnutrition, of sustainable, regenerative, inclusive agriculture. We look at issues like safe water, again, issues that are important to PepsiCo Foundation, the philanthropic arm, but important to the communities. And so lack of access to safe water, and that's issues around conservation, distribution, purification. And then we look at, as a company that is large with over 300,000 employees, again, in over 200 countries and markets, we're a big company. And so therefore, when we show up, we do create economic opportunities through our size and our scale and our hiring and our contracting and our vendor relationships. But we also know the communities that we're operating in sometimes are really challenged, and they're challenged with economic inequality in those communities. And so being a company that recognizes that we do have while we do have food security programs and safe water access programs, we have economic opportunity programs as well, where we provide scholarships to underserved community members to think about and to really get the skills, the access to education, but also the skills that are needed to really be a contributor in the future, so that workforce of the future through scholarships. We focus a lot on skill building and leadership development, again, for that population. Some of the programs that I mentioned to you that we're executing in Africa is really about these entrepreneurial leaders not only having the financial wherewithal and the financial support, but having the skills. A lot of them have the will to create a new business, but do they have the skills? And so providing that skill building leadership support in programs, as I mentioned, in Africa, but programs in the Middle East and North Africa, looking at women's economic empowerment. So that economic opportunity is really important work for us. And then support to that is linked to our scholarships and our skill building, but also support to small businesses. And this is where I shared a lot about the restaurant accelerator programs in the U.S. and our interest in really being a real contributor to the food system. That's not only those who grow our food and farmers, that's the convenience stores and the restaurateurs that really take our products and sell them and shape them into new culinary, creative, meal offerings. And that's also to those who really are delivering and providing those food products to others. So small business support, particularly those in the food service, is also key areas of impact for the foundation. So in a nutshell, you can think about, PepsiCo as a food and beverage company that creates opportunity. In the philanthropic social impact space, we want to ensure that as a food and beverage company that creates opportunities, that we're addressing food insecurity, that we're addressing lack of access to safe water, that we make these great beverages with. And we also want to ensure that even though we are creating economic opportunities, that we are trying to lift others as we climb, as we thrive, as we grow, and that's through support to economic opportunities for others. So that's some of the strategic focus, Global Foundation. But I'm just, you know, honored and have the privilege to lead this foundation. And it is that privilege that comes with pressure. And that pressure and the pressure is a privilege. It's that pressure to really try to show up as we live in a very dynamic world. There's always issues. There's always challenging. Again, as a big company, you think about the things within our own supply chain, the things within our command and control, and the things that we can influence. And so it is a privilege, and it is a lot of pressure to try to ensure that we are who we say we are, that we're living the values that we want to extol to communities. And it's an ever-changing process that we can't rest on our laurels. We have to continue to have that social license to operate, but ultimately to do more good for more people, because we have the opportunity to do just that.